Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I got a great show today. We got Ben Saunders, Killer
yes,
B, as well as Cleo Valentine, who played Ronda Arousmi in the Triple X parody. We're waiting for Greg Wilson. I don't know where he is. Before we start, I want to thank our sponsors, Tip a Fighter. Listen, fighters are underpaid, really underpaid. I'm sure Ben knows, okay? We got to get these people more money. Well, now it's called Tip a Fighter, where you could actually give money to fighters and tip them. You tip cab drivers, you tip Uber drivers, you tip waitresses, waitstaffs, you tip girls giving you lap dances. Why not tip fighters, okay? Fighters, want to make more money? Sign up, Tip a Fighter. It's about pay for performance. Trust me, okay? Fighters, your value is highest the moment you wow the fans. I'm sure, Ben, when you pulled off that Omniplata in the UFC and it was submission of the year, people will just throw you money. Okay, so Tip a Fighter, fighters, sign up, get paid more. Also, American Icon Autographs, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events, signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Their past signings have included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage Jackson, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marley's Conan, and more. Check their website to find out who's signing next. Go to their events, meet the celebrities, and build your man cave. AIASE.com. So, I'm excited about today's show. We have great fighters and great porn stars in studio. I had a good week. I was in San Diego doing comedy, and I love San Diego. It's one of the greatest places ever. It was a big military town, all these, like, Navy people and this. I did have one show where these two assholes kept yelling, suck his dick, after every fourth joke. And I wanted to kick them out, but nobody was there to help me kick them out. So I just had to kind of play along, which is hard to actually turn a negative into a positive. But I did it. I did it. And then I had a show last night in Riverside, which was a crazy show. There was a Mexican couple, and one of the guys and his ex-wife were there with five kids and the grandmother. It was a whole thing. As well as another couple that I'm like, where'd you guys meet? They're like, family reunion. So of course, I'm like, of course, in Riverside, that's where you meet your girlfriend and your family reunion. But it was a good show. Ben Saunders, man, you are on a tear. You're 3-0 in your recent UFC stint. You got a fight against Patrick Cote coming up, right?
Yep.
Excited about this or what?
Very excited, man. I mean, I pretty much went pro the year he fought Tito. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy when you think about it. But at this point, man, I've put my time in. I'm a veteran as well, so it's definitely an honor to fight him.
You are. It's crazy because I was watching your old fights when you had hair back then.
Yeah, man.
When did you decide to totally shave the head?
After The Ultimate Fighter.
After The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I think that show stressed me the fuck out, and I started losing it on the show, and I was like, nah, we got to figure something out.
You're much scarier with no hair, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because Matt Serra, like, on the show was like, hey, he doesn't really look much like a fighter, but, you know, you put him in the cage and he does the job. And, yeah, I guess I kind of looked the part a little bit now.
Yeah, you do. You definitely look very scary. Greg Wilson is here, by the way.
Hey. Thanks yeah, man. You shaved your hair. This is even your facial hair shaved into a scarier position.
So, how are you doing, Greg?
Good, man.
I was talking about some of the shows I had over the weekend. I was in San Diego at the Comedy Palace. These two assholes kept yelling stuff. Suck his dick. Like after every fourth joke, they were trying to be like, just frat boys.
Yeah.
Nobody shut them up. But you don't want to get anger because anger is bad.
Yeah.
Anger
is
never funny.
Yeah.
Frustration is funny. So
that isn't one of those clubs that has good security.
No security. They just they weren't even in the room.
They just leave you in there to just do it on your own.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, so did you destroy them? Or?
I did. Yeah. Eventually. But then last Thursday after the show, I hung out with Juliana Pena.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
We were in Long Beach together. Love that chick. Cool chick. Just a fun girl. And no, we didn't like hook up or anything, but like she's just
she didn't suck your dick?
She did not suck my dick. No.
I'm glad you were the one that asked that.
Well, no, she did not suck my because the guy said suck my dick. But yes. But I told the guys while they were being nabbed, I'm like, this is why I'm pro-choice. Because
there you go.
That got a laugh. And this is why I'm for abortion. The whole thing. And then I met a girl off Tinder recently. It didn't go well.
Again.
She said to me, want to play a word game. I hate when I'm a comedian, I'm going to play a word game. So then she writes salsa. And I go, tastes great off my cock. And then she...
Nice. Yeah, there you go. End of the game.
Game over. End of the game. Unfriend.
What do they want to play again?
I'm kidding. I didn't actually say that, but I did think that. I just said salsa. It tastes good. But it was funnier if I said...
Oh, yeah, you should have just left it in the
No, I think it's funny. Yeah,
never told us the truth on that.
Of course.
It ruined it. Now it's totally lame.
That's cool. Now,
Tinder itself is a game.
Yeah, Tinder is everything's a game.
Yeah,
I hate Tinder.
I hate it. You're on Tinder?
Yeah, I was trying to find a girlfriend. It didn't work out very well.
Really?
Yeah, I just kept having like dudes messaging me. I'm like, I already have enough find a dick girlfriend? In my life.
There's no
I don't
setting,
need any
there's
more.
No setting for like.
No, I did. I like set like only for women, and somehow some dude. There's like dudes that keep messaging me.
It was dudes in like wigs and shit.
No, they were dudes, but they like put like they were lesbians set or to something. Being a woman.
They're like, I'm a girl looking for a girl.
Now, you came to my show last week. It was so good to see you in the crowd laughing.
It was awesome. I had a blast.
I was. Now, you came with a couple.
Yeah.
Was that a girl that you're dating, or her name is Raven or something?
Her
or?
Name is Draven.
Yes.
Draven.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Sounds anally.
It is.
If you're Draven and you don't do anal, you got to change your name.
Yes.
To back to like Christy or whatever you were born with.
Thank
you.
No, she's not my girlfriend or anything, but we banged a lot.
You banged a lot. Now, you banged on camera or off camera?
Both.
Both. Nice. Now, she was with her husband or there, her boyfriend. Now, what does he do when you guys bang? He just
hangs out, maybe like takes some pictures.
Does a little blow in the corner, jerks off.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to the show, Ben, by the way. Oh, Ben's on like, what the fuck did I get myself into?
This is awesome, man.
Now, he's thinking to himself, how far do I have to go before I can start doing blow again? What's my next fight?
You gotta see all aspects of life, man.
Yes.
It's just the opposite spectrum.
No. Are you married? Are you a married guy?
Yeah, I'm married.
You have kids?
No. I have a dog, man. That's good enough.
How long have you been married for?
3 years.
3 years. Yeah. So you met her where?
Orlando.
Orlando. Yeah. Now, that you were at American Top Team for a while, correct?
Yeah. American Top Team. I mean, I still train with, my guys out there. But I've been coming out here to work with Eddie Bravo, really get my my rubber guard and my jits up to par. I mean, he's pretty amazing, man. And he thinks that he's already believing that I have the best guard in the UFC. So, if I keep training my ass off and maybe I can prove it, man.
Pull off some crazy
submissions that we've been working.
It is
that
crazy.
No one even knows the names to except for him. You know,
really? Well, it's crazy because like. 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, I feel like, is great for a long guy like you, a long, flexible guy.
Flexible.
Good for other people as well, but I've taken a couple classes where I'm like, damn, like, it's like I remember there was an instructor named Justin I was working with. Not Justin. The one in Burbank. His name was...
I'm not sure.
The guy in Burbank, but he kind of like, he had your frame, and I'm like, man, these guys who are lengthy and flexible are so hard for wrestlers, because you take you down, and then you put these, you trap
them. Tried into our game.
Yeah, and then you elbowed the fuck, the last time, against your last fight, against Kevin Robertson, right?
Kenny Robertson.
You elbowed the shit out of his head, and I was happy that you won that fight, because a lot of times I feel like guys don't get credit from the bottom, but you really just... I mean, took 10th Planet to a whole new level.
Yeah, I mean, and there were submissions that, I could have went for. When I came back out here, we basically just made sure to refine the hell out of it and have quite a few options now. So when we get there, I mean, once again, it's third round. We're sweaty. You know, he ended up being bloody, so it makes things a little bit more difficult.
Oh, he was covered with blood. Now, I mean, your game is constantly evolving. Like, I watched some of your earlier fights, and it seemed like you were more of a Muay Thai specialist. Like
Jeet Kune Do, man. Jeet Kune Do concepts.
What is that?
In memory of Bruce Lee, man. Basically, when I was 14. I mean, I was in martial arts since I was 8 years old, but my older brother and my best friend were, like, knew who Bruce Lee was, had his books, his magazines, and whatnot. So I kind of got into it that way when I was 14. Sifu Neil Khalif, who's under Dan and Asano. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's pretty much the direct guy. Once Bruce Lee passed away, he was kind of the guy in charge that evolved and kind of kept Jeet Kune Do alive and going and whatnot over the years. And so I met a guy that was under him, and I started training with him. I got fundamentals of, my Muay Thai down. We did Filipino Kali, weapons fighting, French Savate, Indonesian Silat, a lot of random stuff, man. I mean, dude, I'm 14 years old, and
sounds like styles of fishing.
Okay,
but above all, the whole I say concepts because the idea is it's not really a martial art. It's just, you know, it's concepts. It's a theory.
I heard you were younger. You couldn't afford karate lessons.
No, I couldn't afford anything, man. I pretty much came from nothing. My best friend was able to take Taekwondo, so he would kind of go to the classes, come home, and we would just fuck around, spar.
Yeah, and then I heard that you actually went to the wrestling high school, taught them submissions, and they taught you wrestling. Like, you exchanged move for move. I mean, how fucking... And then you lied to your parents, told them you were going to college, and instead went to go train with Dean Thomas.
Yeah.
That's kind of college.
Yeah. That's what I said. That's how I said it in my head, at least. Yeah. I'm like, this is my college because at the end of the day, you know, I want to do martial arts for the rest of my life. I want to open up a gym eventually.
But were your parents pissed when, like, let's say you didn't come home with any books or homework or any kind of a degree?
No, I said, like, I did it all, man. Like, I went there. I got all the books. I went to a couple of classes. And then it just came down to, one, I have, like, ADHD, so, like, if I'm not interested, I don't really give a fuck. And the classes I were taking were the basic classes. It's not like, in college, sometimes you can take classes that are pretty practical or interesting, and, you know, you might want to learn it somewhat.
But then there's all the other classes that are part of the core curriculum.
Yeah,
and you sit through. And half that you already studied in high school.
I think it was the SATs or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really care. I didn't think I was going to college. I was going to go to vocational.
When did your parents figure out that you were not going to college and you were going to a fight club?
Probably after the first semester when it came back that I was failing everything.
And then what did they do?
Just not showing up is what it was. Because, you know, I was going to college, but there's only 24 hours in a day. Well, I try to train full time, work full time, and go to school full time, but you also need to sleep, you know? So those are four full-time things that require 8 to 10 hours a day. You only got 24 hours. Yeah. So something had to fucking go.
Now, did you go to college, Cleo?
Yes, I did.
Where did you go?
I'm not going to say. I don't want people to know.
I love all this non-background stuff. I don't want to know my town.
You want to tell us where you're like, what, really? Was it in Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you graduate?
Yes, I did.
Well, you have a degree.
Yes, I do. I have a degree in business. Yes.
Your degree in business.
Yes.
Nice. Well, you're a very successful porn star.
I'm trying so far.
Now,
they taught her ball jiggling.
Yeah.
And there was rimming 101. And, you know.
I see that you've taken some of these classes also.
Are you kidding me? All I've done is study.
He has his PhD in deep throating.
You're going to teach me some things later?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, listen, let's try.
Okay.
Would you give a hand job?
Exchange some moves.
Would you give someone a hand job to have sex with her?
Depends on who.
Ben Saunders.
Totally.
You really?
Oh, yeah.
You would give Ben a hand job to have sex with
her? It would never work.
So long as it was at the same time. I wouldn't be able to do it like individually. I wouldn't be able to jerk him off first and then do her. It would have to be simultaneously.
Really?
So I could just imagine that it was just like some other action happening while I was doing her.
What action would that be for me?
I don't know. Like trying to milk a cow or maybe an elephant or whatever. I haven't seen your dick.
I mean, honestly, dude, you're very very cocky about it. You see, you can really get me off somehow, and I'm thinking, I can't see it happening.
I think cocky is the right
word. Just close your eyes. His hands are soft.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying so I have to help him, is what you're saying. Okay.
You have to do your part. Listen, we're all in this together. We're all in this together.
Now,
we never get stranded on a boat in the middle of the ocean because all this is coming back up.
Now, Cleo, since you were in Rhonda Arouse Me, Grounded and Pounded, you were the big star of that. How has your life changed?
It's been kind of crazy. Like, I never got recognized in public before. Like I said, last time I got stopped at the airport, someone wanted to, like, take a picture with me. I was like, what? I was wearing, like, my pajamas at the airport with a hood up and everything.
Really?
someone stopped me.
You're probably still pretty hot.
I don't know. Yeah, I brown bag myself every time I masturbate, so no.
Okay, so people have been, like, stopping you on the street?
Yeah, people have stopped me a couple times and stuff, so it's really cool. I've
gotten a lot. Any random Spider-Mans? Anyone just Spider-Maning you while you walk
down? No. Okay. No,
right,
not yet.
Thank you, Greg. Cleo, what you were saying?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. Shit.
Now, since then, you were on Butt Slammers.
Yeah.
And Tony's Fuck List.
Yeah.
Now, who's Tony and why does he have a fuck list?
Tony Rivas, he has an amazing fuck list. He's like fucked everyone, I feel like. Well, except you.
What a guy.
but maybe you'll be on his fuck list.
No, I'm not going to. He's on my no list.
Oh,
no. Hunter's World. It's
now,
a little different.
Now, I heard that porn stars have a no list. They have guys they won't fuck.
Do you or
have anybody
girls.
Or girls? Do you have anybody on your no list?
I have one person.
Who?
Is it me?
I can't say who it is. Okay. That's rude.
Is it a guy or girl?
It's a guy.
Why do you say on your no list?
Because we worked together one time and it was just
he farted in your mouth.
God, I wasn't gonna say that. Come on.
No, that's what happened though, right? He asked me to rim him
and then he just
No, is that what happened?
No, that's not what happened. But that does happen.
Okay.
It does happen though.
Okay, so no, what exactly what happened? Why is he on your no list?
Because it was supposed to be an anal scene and he like refused to use lube and I was like, you have to use lube if you're gonna put your dick in my ass.
Right.
And he refused to. And then he kept trying to after I told him not to.
Now, wasn't there a director on set or something?
Yeah, the director was like, what are you doing? You were like...
Why did he not want to use lube? He wanted to hurt you?
I
don't know, because he was a dickhead and he was drunk.
Wow.
So...
He was drunk on set.
He was drunk on set. He got in trouble for that too, so...
Now, Ben, when you and your wife are together, or your girlfriend, do you guys always use lube or...
What? No.
No, really? No.
Just well, spit
not
on
every
it.
Time.
You guys actually do anal or no?
What? Plead the fifth.
Nice, Killer
not
B.
His
nickname is Killer B. So, so kill a butt right here.
That's right.
Now, some of your other movies, because I have a lot of questions about this. What was Kung Fu Pussy about?
It was about three girls who have different powers. Mine was or different moves. Mine was the Lotus Pussy, and I could like kick ass with my pussy pretty much.
Nice. Okay,
yeah, you can. God damn. You're on the right podcast. Fucking Lotus Pussy.
Wait, how could your pussy kick ass? Like I don't know.
So like I would like automatically like drop my pants and like you know, like sit on this dude's face and he would like be knocked out and then all he could do was eat my vagina.
Well, okay, so it had powers.
Yeah.
So your
Hallman tried that on Oliveira. In the fight on Saturday night, he did. It was his big move in the second round. He tried to put the Lotus Pussy
The
on
Lotus
it.
Pussy.
He did. It didn't work. It didn't last long, but he tried to put it on.
Have you ever had a girl give you a Lotus Pussy or no?
Maybe, but I don't know.
I think I've actually had a girl give me a Lotus Pussy. Now, Evil Head. So that's you're giving head and it's evil.
That's like a lot of teeth.
It's a remake from Evil Dead.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of evilness and people giving head. I actually got to do the tree rape scene. So
the what rape scene?
The tree rape scene.
You raped a tree?
Well, the tree raped me, but it was consensual.
Real, like it was an actual tree?
Well, they had tree branches that were like rubbing up against me, and then they made three dildos that looked like branches. So I had like one in my ass, one in my vagina, and one like shoved down my throat.
Wow.
And then there was this girl that was holding like these two branches trying to like caress my boobs with them. And then all of a sudden she passed out because I also had ants crawling on me because it was done outside in the middle of the night. I couldn't see it.
Wow.
And so she ended up passing out watching this happen.
Wait, this was in the movie or in real life?
Yeah, in the movie.
Oh, okay. You didn't really have ants crawling up.
No,
you.
I really did have ants crawling.
Oh, really?
On me.
Like they get it, like
this is a high budget porn. This
yeah.
one. This one really.
Well,
had
it was
a production
outside. It was outside, and we couldn't see. It was dark. And
wait,
I...
no, that was on purpose. The ants.
No, that was not on purpose.
Ants just started attacking your body.
Yeah, it was kind of bad because later I was like douching out my vagina again because there was dirt and it was outside and there was ants inside my vagina.
Oh God!
So, wow, how lucky are those ants?
I know, right?
What were they thinking? Hey, what must have been the ant just in there just licking his brains out?
It's funny.
Like, I don't know what this is, guys, but I think it's ambrosia.
Wow. I've never heard of ants up here. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Damn. Were you like, did ant? All right, listen. Okay, so now.
Did ant.
Now, okay.
Ants in the veg. Now, that's the name of our next movie.
Now, when you were in Drill Her Ass, right?
Yes.
Now, was that just a guy drilling your ass? Is that what?
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Now, is it hard afterwards? Like,
hey, it's okay to laugh, man. You can laugh out loud. It's like he's sitting there just like I can't believe what I'm hearing right
Ben,
now.
Ben's okay. Oh. All right.
It was pretty interesting. I've never had my asshole gaped before, so yeah, that was interesting. And then like, He like spit in my asshole and filled it up with spit.
Yeah, do you feel it go in?
No, you can't really feel it in because like he put like a speculum.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because you've seen it before because they're always spitting right down in the hole. And it's like spelunking or something. Like hello, hello, hello.
It's like an echo?
Yeah, because it's gaped. Oh. You know? And then they just spit all the way down in there. It's like, where's that spit going?
Yes.
Does it just like make its way through the pipe and out your mouth? Or how does that work?
It just filled up and then it just came out.
It actually drowned the ants that were already in there.
It did.
It's like when rednecks dig a hole and call it a pool.
All right, so let's talk about some fights that happened this weekend. How was your weekend, Greg, by the way?
It was great.
What'd you do?
I don't remember.
All right, great. So
I did some shows. Oh, I did a cancer benefit. That was real nice. That was a fun show. Nice. And I was at the Ha Ha, and I did the Comedy Store. And,
nice.
Yeah, a lot of good shows, a lot of good times. Oh, and I shot a pilot.
There you go. Look at you. Now, Ben, I want to ask you. So when you were at American Top Team, like everyone talks about stories about Hector Lombard's training, how he just tries.
How
he just tries to knock out his sparring partners. according to him, it seems like a lot of guys go hard on him, and then he just retaliates, and then they don't want any more. What's your experience with that?
You know, he's worked on it because the team talked to him. You know, the coaches talked to him. So he's definitely worked on it. But, you know.
hey, you're ruining guys' careers.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different, man. So in that aspect, yeah, man. I mean, that's definitely messed up on the teammates' part,
yeah.
You know, that are trying to come up. I mean, like I said, man, everybody's different. You know, he's a really nice
was
guy
he ever
off
hard
the
on
mat.
You? What did he ever like?
I guess though, the only time I had not really even an issue, but I had a cut that I had to get stitches on, and my fight was like 2 weeks later, so we kind of wrapped it up and put gauze and everything to try to cover it, and we told him not to go for it.
And he went for it.
But once again, like, I don't know if it's just, you know, because he was in the moment or, you know, I don't think he intentionally was like, I'm going to go for the cut.
Cuban fight mode, he just sees blood, doesn't matter who's in front of him.
I think when he gets on the mat, you know, he's a competitor.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks because it's not good for the training partners. You know, there's definitely way smarter ways to train. And there's times that it might not be good for him because, yeah, if you go hard, what if they go hard back and something happens
to
him?
Somebody gets hurt, what's the point? You know? Injuries?
Yeah. You're not getting paid for it. There's no insurance during that process, you know, as far as if anything happens, it really being covered, not on your dime.
Cleo, do you ever have a guy go too hard during your scenes?
Yeah, it happens.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens?
Do you stop?
No, you just keep going, man.
Because I know sometimes you do like some fetish stuff, some bondage stuff.
Yeah.
Do you ever have guys just punch you and you're like, hey, what are you doing?
I have yet to have that happen. Most of the people who do like the fetish stuff, they're really like in tune with your body and your different things like that. And they know how much you can take and how much you can't. Yeah. You know this? You know this? Yeah.
I'm actually just so into it right now.
Okay. So you've had experiences where you're like, hey, dude, I didn't sign up for this.
I've had like one whenever it was not a fetish type thing. It was just like a regular thing. The guy was like wailing on my ass, like spanking it while he was like fucking it at the same time. And I was like, whoa, that's a little bit too much going on my butt.
So what did you do? Did you like get mad at him or did you smile?
No,
and
I
tell
didn't
him
get mad. I just like put my hand back and like, you know, kind of like slowed him down with his thrusts and.
Right. I've seen that.
You know, you let them know. You
I'm
let
like,
them
hey,
know.
I like it when they put the hand back, like, hey, easy. And that's usually what turns me on. I'm like, gosh, you can't take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's really getting that out. Yeah.
Greg,
like,
you have serious problems.
What?
He just really likes his porn.
I like it when it gets real. That's all.
Really? No, I do. I hear what he says.
Don't break character.
There is something about,
exactly.
Like, there is something about,
exactly.
Like,
earn that money, baby.
There is something about, like, amateur porn. Like, I started watching The Dancing Bear. You ever watch Dancing Bear? It's these guys, these strippers that come, and there's like 50 girls, they just take turns blowing a dude, and they pass them around like meat. And there's something, to me, there's something cool about that, because it looks like they're not acting. When I can tell a porn star is acting, I get kind of like, maybe because I'm too jaded from Hollywood, but I'm like, I can tell she's not really liking it, or I could tell this is just put on. I'm more into like, you know, right?
Like real.
Yeah.
Like
someone
who really actually cries.
Oh, come on.
That is pretty hot.
Those tears.
Have you ever cried?
Yeah, it was during like some fetish stuff where I was hung upside down and on a bamboo stick, and then I was beat with a cane across the back of my legs and my feet, and that was the only time I like really cried. Like,
that's horrible.
It was pretty awesome because then he took like a Hitachi to my vagina while he was like beating
me. What's Hitachi? Is that like a?
It's like the most amazing thing. You should get one and keep it around just for any ladies you bring home.
What is it? You know what Hitachi is?
I don't know.
It's you know, they have them.
It's like a shocker?
No, it's not a shocker. It's a vibrator, and it's like huge.
The round one. With,
you have a Hitachi?
I've seen it. I know what
it
is.
On the
All
box.
Girls, yeah, that's like the number one fucking vibrator yeah. in porn is the Hitachi.
Well, I've never had to use
on
one.
On a box, it should. Oh.
Okay, so you were upside down on a bamboo stick. The guy's going crazy, and then a guy starts putting a Hitachi on you.
Yeah.
But you were crying.
Yeah, I was crying.
Why were you crying?
Because it was insane pain at the same time as, like, a crazy orgasm.
Have you ever had that happen to you, Ben?
No. No. No Hitachi in me. No bamboo and upside down.
She cried worse than Gilbert.
I guess
Burns
not yet,
at the end
you know.
Back to your jiu-jitsu, right? So now you're Eddie Bravo guy, but you were
smoothest transitions in the business.
Now you were a black belt under.
Well, no, I still am a black belt under Ricardo.
Black belt.
Ricardo Laborio.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, me and Laborio love each other, man. We're
no, but is it hard to sometimes to learn some of Eddie's techniques, or they go hand in hand?
No, you know, I've been in this game long enough that you know, once again, it also kind of goes with the Jeet Kune Do background. I'm here to learn as much as possible, and it's kind of take what's useful to me, discard what's useless, and create what is essentially my own. I mean, that's the full essence of what I try to do as a martial artist. So expanding my mind, sometimes it can be chaotic and it can be too much, but as long as you're intelligent and you know, it's not like Eddie was just like, yeah, let me just throw my entire system at you from every position and whatnot.
Right,
no,
right.
We keep working on key components that just consistently add more and more to my game.
That's cool. That's cool. And that's good that you say. I mean, I know that for me, it would be kind of, I would think it would be a little confusing, but I think Eddie takes like what some of the Gracie stuff, from what I understand, and just evolves it as opposed to like, you know, my way or the highway.
Yeah. Like, and his own system is consistently evolving on a daily, on a weekly. It's crazy, man. Like, he comes up with his system, and through over the years and the months, and just in the time of me working with him, he's like, oh, my guys are changing it up and saying, well, people keep doing this, so if we try this move, so now some things are, okay, you can go this path, and some things are just completely changed. Okay, now, this is the better route.
Now, I was having a hard time. I actually tore my ACL in 10th Planet. I got caught in an electric chair. And
ooh.
Didn't tap, and then I popped my leg. I got to get surgery in December. The only issue I was having with Eddie's stuff was that I was coming, me personally, I was coming inconsistently. I was coming once every 2 weeks, and I'd come into a class where they're like, they're learning like a five move step, or like, here's a vaporizer, here's a this from a sweep. And I want to learn just kind of basics, arm triangle, basic this, basic arm bars. What would you recommend, a catch wrestling system? Or like I don't like gi. I'd rather learn no gi. But what
I mean,
you...
essentially a fundamental class in any one of the, you know, the systems is going to be your go to
right.
as a beginner coming up. You know, it doesn't matter what you learn from Eddie, what you learn from someone else or someone else. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't know how to get your guard back, or you don't know how to control someone inside mount or get escape from, like, there's, you know, pretty basic fundamentals that are always going to be go-tos no matter. And
yeah.
no matter what your body type is.
Well, I come from
long,
a wrestling base.
Short.
I wrestled in high school, a little bit in college. So I come from a wrestling base. It was like I was able to control people, but then I was like, all right, now what do I do next? That's why I kept getting stuck in the guard because I'm pinning the guy, but I'm
right.
not doing
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like winning the wrestling match, but I'm doing nothing in jiu-jitsu other than like stalling kind of. And then, you know, I was always
Well, then
going-
you would work. Ideally, you would work opening the guard and guard passing. If your bread and butter just from coming in from what you're good at
yeah.
is wrestling, controlling, getting them down, then go, what's the next step? If you're consistently in their guard, go for guard passes or opening the guard first and then work from there. Sometimes it goes to top half guard, so you would work that too and see what you like from there. Some people don't like to go to side mount. They just chill in half
yeah,
guard.
Yeah, the passing was a hard part. I was always just stuck in fucking guard for 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, we gotta do something. Now, have you used any of your jiu-jitsu training for the Ronda Rousey into your sex life?
No, not yet. But everything that he's saying right now, I'm just like, how can I like incorporate this? Maybe you could show me some moves
like,
so I can.
All of it. Fundamentals, yes, man. Yes. The fundamentals. You just need.
I can't help noticing you have your fingers are like alien length fingers.
Oh, by the way, guys, so,
I'm able to grab my grip pretty.
Those are unbelievable,
dude. I can get around a wrist easy.
We have a phone call. Actually, we have Nicholas Dalby. You know him? Nicholas Dalby is calling in. Nicholas Dalby, who is 13-0, just came off a fight of the night from Darren Till. Actually, it was a draw, but it was an amazing fight. Dalby came back. He's a badass fighter. He's a 2-time Cage Warrior champion. And we're going to talk to him right now. Hello, Nicholas Dalby.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Killer B, Ben Saunders, Cleo Valentine, who played Ronda Arouse Me, as well as the Greg Wilson. How are you, man?
I'm very good. I'm cruising along the Golden Gate.
Nice. Now, have you seen any of Cleo's movies? She was in Butt Slammers, White is the New Black 2, as well as Inked Squirt. Have you seen any of that?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. Definitely got to check him out.
Yeah, catch up on that.
Now, how's it going, man? By the way, congrats on your amazing fight I saw in Ireland. Holy shit, that was a fight of the night. It was a draw.
Thank you.
It was a great fight. You came back. It was like that, dude. That was a tough fight. Both of you guys were undefeated. You really tell us about that fight.
Well, you
want to
know?
I mean, at any point, were you losing confidence in yourself when he was kind of getting the best of you a little bit in round one and two? Did you ever stop believing yourself?
Yeah, I was ready to quit after round two. I remember going back to my corner, telling my coach, I don't want to be here, man. I think I'm done. Because I really felt that nothing I did worked. So, and then he gave me the pep talk of our lives. And then, So what happened is after he went out there.
What did he say to you?
He said a couple of things. I don't clearly remember it, but the main thing was we've been training together for 10 years. So he was like, okay, you need to do this and this and this. Do you trust me? And I was like, yes, I trust you. Okay. Go out there, show the country what you're coming for. Then I went out there,
That was pretty damn awesome. Cleo, have you ever gotten fucked in the ass and you want to quit and someone gave you a pep talk?
Yeah, it's definitely happened before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now listen, you're going to stretch that butthole.
Yeah. Well, they're like, they give you a bigger dildo to shove up there.
Really?
And they're like, okay, now you can fit that big dick in your asshole.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They give you a training kit.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so happy we're making headway. Everybody here is not a quitter. Now,
she put a kettlebell in there.
Now, Nicholas, you grew up in Denmark, correct?
That is correct.
Nice. Now, how's the fight scene over in Denmark?
Well, it's not that big. We have, I think, 3 years back, four years back, we had a couple of good professional promotions, but it kind of died out after that. So we still got some fights going on, but it's not as big as it was a couple of years ago. But it's turning around now. So now we're having like pro events, I guess, like 3 or 4 times a year.
So are you training in Denmark?
Yeah, so far I've been having all my fight camps in Denmark.
Are you training with Makwan at all?
Yeah, I was going to say, Makwan's out there, yeah.
Who?
Makwan Amirkani?
No, but he's in Sweden, you know.
He's in Sweden.
That's
it's all the same
pretty far away, so.
Yeah.
So that's not really feasible to travel up to him and train with him.
By the way,
he's not really my weight class. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Danish girls are so hot. Danish,
yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So
now, you being a UFC star, are you just pounding puss? I mean, are you just getting tons of chicks out in Denmark?
You could say I have a girlfriend, so it's pretty steady, but in the best way possible.
Nice.
She's amazing.
I'm sure she is. Now, what does she do?
She's a nurse, actually.
Well, that's got to come in handy after the fights.
It goes pretty good in hand with me fighting, then she can take care of me afterwards.
Now, I know that Piotr Hallman wrote a thing today how he only made $10,000 for his fight last week. After paying out everybody, he got to take home $3,000. You're only allowed to take one cornerman over with you. The cornerman has to share a room with you, and now he has to be a full-time fighter. Has that been your experience too, and how are you able to kind of make ends meet?
Well, I don't know what kind of money he has to pay different people, but my expenses are nowhere near as big as his. Of course, I have some expenses for fight camps and stuff, but you know, I've paid the usual 20% to my management and coaches and stuff like that, so it's not really... You know, I get to keep quite a good bunch for myself, but I'm also making more per fight. So.
Are you able to just be a full-time fighter, or do you have to have a part-time job?
Well, I do photography on the side, but that's more because I have a passion for it, which I earn some money on. But right now, I can more or less live off what I earn by fighting.
What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I do full-time.
Full-time?
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, it seems like they're complaining, man, this is bullshit. I'm only making 10 and 10. I can't do it. Other people are going, you know what? You know, I get paid pretty well. What side of the fence are you on, Ben?
Well, you know, I signed the contract, so the numbers are not unknown to me. And I think people that bitch about what they get paid, they shouldn't sign the contract. It's as easy as that. Should the UFC pay more and stuff like that? But in the end, it's you signing the contract and then going out bitching afterwards. That's kind of, you know.
I completely agree.
Doesn't really flip. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should have won the fight.
Well, now, what do you? Yeah, well, come on, man. I mean, see how hard it is to win a fight.
Totally not.
As far as Reebok is concerned, I know, Ben, you know, you were in Bellator. Were you making more money with sponsors in Bellator, or are you making more in the UFC?
I don't know. It's about the same, I guess.
About the same.
You know, sponsors are a rough thing, man. So I have a little bit of a different stance on that. I don't think, for me, I've just over the years come to realize don't even count on it, man. I've had $20,000 to $30,000. I've never even received from sponsors my career. Man, I couldn't even tell you at this point. It was my first in the UFC, so my sponsor agent at that time just ran off with it all or something. Oh. So, I don't know.
Tough, you guys.
Dude, so part of me is kind of like, fuck it, man. The Reebok deal means I'm guaranteed this no matter what. You know, at this point, people just try to negotiate your contract so it's, you know, in line with what you're getting paid, I guess, sponsor-wise, so you're not angry or bitching. But at the end of the day, man, it's a double-edged sword. If you're fighting in the UFC, you can make more money with sponsors. But if you're in other organizations, it's not so easy. So it's a fine line. You can say, "Oh, I made this much before the Reebok deal," but that's fighting in the UFC.
Right.
If you went to another organization, would you still be making that much? And so that's a fine line.
By the way, are you half black?
No.
Are you 100% white?
I'm Russian and Irish and a little English.
You look kind of mixed. He looks a little mixed.
Two of my brothers are half Cuban, and I'm almost like a twin with my older brother. Oh. So I kind of get, I guess, that.
How's the pay in porn?
I mean, you just get paid per scene. You don't get royalties or anything like that. So, yeah.
So how much do you get paid for one of your scenes?
You don't have to say.
I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
All right, how much? All right. What does the average porn star get per scene?
Do you get paid by the inch?
I wish.
If she did a scene with you, she'd make no money.
She'd make enough for a nice dinner at Boston Market.
Now, is it? I've heard in porn, girls make more money if they do girl start with. And then all of a sudden, their big reveal to do a guy, they got a huge bump. And then their big reveal to do anal, it's a bigger bump. Is that true?
That's totally true. Like, if you, like, are able to hold out for a longer time, you can make your career last longer. A lot of times, you know, if you go straight out there and you're shoving things in your asshole right off the bat, you know.
That's what I did. That's the mistake I made.
Then, you know, everyone's already seen everything and they don't want to watch anything anymore.
Right off the bat, shit in my ass, just shoving shit in my asshole. No. You're done with me in two scenes.
Now, what did you do? Were you able to withhold or?
Well, I only worked for one company for 5 years, so that really kept my career going for a longer time. But my first scene was a threesome anal scene, so.
So you jumped right. Like,
I did threesome.
Wait, 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 two guys and you?
Two guys and me, yeah.
So you had two dicks in your ass?
Not in my ass, no.
Oh.
I had like one in my... No, I didn't do DP. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, you haven't done DP.
That's her big reveal.
That's my big reveal.
That's right. Let's do it right here on the MMA
and,
Rest
and double vag and stuff like
let's
that.
Let's do triple anal.
It's called a log jam.
It's log Periscope jam. That shit.
Periscope.
We'll get kicked off Periscope. Not a good idea.
Now, how long have you had this girlfriend for, Dalby?
We've been together for, I think, almost half a year.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's pretty new.
Something like that.
Okay, all right. Now, who do you want to fight next, buddy?
Well, I don't... Seriously, I haven't really put thought into it. I've traveled to the States after the fight, and I've been over here on vacation since then, so I haven't really sat down and looked at anybody in particular. I know that's a fucking boring answer, but I really haven't.
Now, your last fight was a draw, right? A lot of fighters are, you know, even though I thought it was a great fight, I never had a problem with a draw. It was Friday the night. You made an extra, what, $50,000. Were you upset that it was a draw because you wanted to win, or were you okay with it being a draw?
Well, I knew he beat me for the first two rounds. So me coming back and being able to make the last round a 10-8 and get a draw was satisfaction for me. Of course, would I like to win? Absolutely. Would I have hated to lose? Fuck yeah. But I went out there and did my thing and had my influence on how the fight ended. So coming from the deep valley, if you can say so, after the first two rounds, then getting up to getting in a draw, That was satisfaction for me.
Yeah, like a moral victory.
Yeah. Now you come from a karate background, a kickboxing background. It seems that a lot of Europeans, the one Achilles heel they have is American wrestling or even Russian wrestling because they don't have they don't have wrestling in Denmark or they have wrestling but not in high school. So it's kind of a specialized thing. How are you preparing for these wrestlers?
Well, we actually, I trained with a former UFC fighter called Mats Nilsson, and he has a pretty good base in wrestling. Of course, he's not like collegiate level American wrestler, but, you know, we got some guys around that can do their best to emulate a wrestler. And I think also a lot of it is awareness and training. So if you just go about and don't really focus on the wrestling parts of your training, you're going to get fucked up when you meet a wrestler. But even though you're training in Europe, but don't have like collegiate level wrestlers around, if you're focusing on it in training and are being aware about it, then I think that goes a long way.
Gotcha. Now the champion is Robbie Lawler in your weight class, so 170. You're also in Ben's weight class. How do you think you match up against Robbie or some of these high echelon, the Robbie Lawlers, the Carlos Condits, the Johnny Hendricks, those three guys?
Well, I definitely need to work on some stuff. But I also know that I haven't shown my potential in my last two fights. So I definitely need some work, but I think with maybe a year's training or more.
How old are you?
Take on top guys. I'm 30.
Nice, man. You still got time.
He's 30. He's 13 and 0. He's in the he's 13
actually,
and 1. 13
like,
0 and 1. 13 0 and 1. Yeah, you're a very exciting fighter. I mean, you came to Brazil.
In 7 days, I'm going to be 31.
Oh, nice. I mean, your first fight was in Brazil, and you won a split decision in Brazil, which is not easy to do. Now, listen, before tonight, you and your girlfriend, I know she's in the U.S. with you, you got to see Hotel No-Tell 2, as well as Whores, Inc. 2, and Barbecue Titmasters, okay? Because... Because
all right, it's on my to-do list.
Now, what was Barbecue Titmasters about?
It's about me making my special barbecue rub, and
boy,
it's awesome.
And my
tits are always out while I'm making it.
So your tits are always out, and you're making barbecue.
And you banged yourself with some tri-tip.
No.
Wow. Who bangs you in that movie?
I had an orgy at the end, and then I had sex with one of the judges of our barbecue.
Oh, so you're having a barbecue off, a contest? Yeah. You and some other girls?
It's just like, you know, the barbecue.
Yes. Oh, so okay, so you guys are barbecuing.
Yeah.
And then the judge is there, and then he fucks all you?
Well, no.
You.
I go and fuck one of the judges. There's three different judges. I fuck one of them because I want to.
You want to win.
I want to win.
But
I
you,
mean, that's
but
what
you cheated.
Do.
You cheated.
Well, everyone cheated because everyone fucked the judges.
Oh, everyone fucked a different judge.
Yeah.
So then all the judges had somebody else winning. Whoever fucked them was going to win.
Yeah, pretty much. And then at the end, we all fucked one of the judges, and then I won.
It sounds like.
Can I tell you something? As someone from Texas, this is really how most of them go down.
It is.
Most of these barbecue contests come down to blowjobs.
Wow. So barbecue tip master. So, okay.
I want to cut. I've never wanted barbecue more in my life.
Yes. Okay. So that, and you got to see Facial Overload 3. Now, you know what? I didn't see Facial Overload the first two. What's the third about?
It's about getting your face fucked really hard.
Right.
And then spit. There's
face.
A spit coming all out of your mouth.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And you're just filled up with cum and your yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, okay. Nicholas Dalby, have you seen Facial Overload 3?
I love you.
I have not.
Oh, all right.
I know it's disappointing, but yeah, I haven't been. girlfriend, so
is
so
it,
the need to watch porn hasn't been that big.
Now, is your girlfriend in the same car as you right now?
Yeah, she is.
Can we talk to her for a second?
She's driving and I'm on a headset, so that's going to be difficult.
Okay.
Yeah, right. All right, listen, Nicholas, it was a pleasure to talk to you, man. I'm a huge fan. Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you so much for the kind words, and likewise, it was nice to be here.
All right, thanks, brother. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, that was Nicholas Dalby. He's like a nice guy.
Like a nice guy?
What a nice guy.
13-0-1, and he still feels like he's got a lot to learn. That's some humility. That's what you need, I guess, to keep progressing.
Right?
No, he's got a future, man, because I'd say 31, 32 is usually the prime.
Yeah.
And if he's 30 now and he said in a year, you know, he sees him being at that level, man.
Seems like a lot of these Europeans, what they lack in wrestling, they make up in kickboxing.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask him what the kickboxing scene was like out there, because he said the MMA scene was like 3, maybe 4 times a year or something like that.
Yeah.
I was going to see if maybe the kickboxing scene was maybe once a month or something.
It just seems like these guys have, like, I don't know if they kick harder, but you see some of these, like, even though they watch The Ultimate Fighter this year, they see these guys, they come out of the European kickboxing scene, and they just seem to have more juice on their punches and kicks. You know, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely have a lot going for them in the striking aspect. You know,
right.
A lot of coaches and a lot of experience out there on that aspect. The MMA scene is much newer. So,
right.
You know, obviously wrestling being a big dictator of distance, space, and where the fight takes place. I mean, we all got to up that shit or be really, really good off our back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, wrestling was always sort of a little bit of your Achilles heel in the beginning. I know and they kept putting you with wrestlers.
It's funny though, because I statistically, I think I was like, ranked like top 5 or top 10 of takedown defense UFC.
Right.
But yes, John Fitch, amazing wrestler, black belt in jiu-jitsu, was able to do his thing. Hallman, black belt in jiu-jitsu. Good wrestler.
Hallman's a very underrated fighter, man. And the guy beat Matt Hughes 3 times.
I mean, those guys had like 200 fights, you know? Like, you know, at the time, you know, I was a young gun coming up. So those fights for me were amazing, you know, eye-opening, kind of see where you're at, see what level you're at, what you need to work on. And
Greg, stop taking pictures of her while she's here, okay?
You want me to just pull my tits off?
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to, when she laughs, her titties bounce, and so I wanted to get, see, there it goes.
Greg,
I don't wear a bra.
Greg, this is our guest.
Can we periscope that?
No, this is the MMA podcast, okay? We want her to feel comfortable. Greg, stop.
It's not free titty day.
Seriously, Greg. I understand she's beautiful, and you don't see a lot of beautiful girls in your life. Okay, but
that's not true. I only see one.
It's a good point, except for one. You don't see a variety.
I only get to see one. That's true.
You don't see. You see one.
I do only get to see one. Dang.
I know. But come on, man. Anyway, so
I wanted to share it with her because.
But I'm trying to. He's talking to me about his fighting,
just
about
one
wrestling.
Of my movies. God, you could see him bounce all the time.
Yes. I know, but it's just fun because she laughs. You go,
okay.
He's like in real life though.
Let's make her laugh. Right.
All right, I'm trying to talk to Ben Sutters about fighting.
If you would have just left it alone, you could have kept talking.
I know, but you kept fucking. We kept moving your phone.
Well, just continue the interview. I know. There they go. We could be showing bouncing titties right now.
You're creeping her out.
I wasn't creeping her out.
She's not here for that. She gets whatever. All right. So, Ben.
Wait.
Now, one of your fights, I got to say, one of your fights, which was a brutal knockout loss to Lima, that was in Bellator.
Yes.
That was, now I watched that last night. You had some amazing wins. I'm not just, but that loss, like, that head kick, you were out. Now, when you wake up, do you know where you are?
Luckily, yeah, I did. Luckily, I woke up knowing exactly, I knew I lost. I knew exactly, I didn't know what hit me. But I knew I got knocked out. I know I'm on the canvas. I know where I was, who the president was, where the day was, and blah, blah, blah. Like, so in that sense, I'm lucky because concussion-wise, it probably wasn't as bad as it could have been. You know, it is what it is. My eye was swollen shut. I didn't see the kick coming. You know,
Now, I mean, you came back. Obviously, now you're on a 3-5 win streak in the UFC. It's a great story. You're at a high. But when you're in that situation, okay, you get home. You're in the hospital. Are you starting to doubt like what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like I just got head kicked into next week. I'm like this is fuck. Are there doubts?
No. Honestly, man, we filmed a documentary for that fight and the training camp leading into it and. You know, the aftermath and even leading it to the Umaplata and stuff. So, you know, we're working on creating the film and putting it out there. So pretty much the world can kind of see a little bit of what I was going through, what my mentality was. There was a lot of weird things going on in that fight. It is what it is. I took it away. I put on a performance. Everybody got a show. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
The entertainment value, win, lose, or draw.
The fight
my
before
mindset.
That, you won by head kick.
Yeah. No. That by no means kind of determined who I was or dictated anything. But like I said, there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Like what?
Contractual things. There are things going on. You know, I kind of wanted to get back to UFC. I was kind of stuck in Bellator. Every fight that I lost in Bellator would have added more time to my contract. So on a psychological level, it's kind of like, I don't know.
You win,
lose.
You
like,
win by
like,
losing, yeah.
Well, you win and then you're stuck where you don't want to be at the time. And if you lose, you fucking lose, man. So like in my head, the best situation is a split decision loss that's controversial on whether or not I win, but I get out.
Yeah, that's
you know, like in my head, I'm like, that's the fucking win-win for me right there because I don't give a fuck.
That's a hard thing to orchestrate.
That's a very
but how
specific.
The fuck do you make that? Yo, but how do you make that
Wait,
fucking happen?
Fight, yeah.
You know, how do you make that happen? I guess what could have made that happen is maybe fuck, come out the third round, fucking drop him, get a 10-8 round, and then like fucking, then we get some weird controversy where it could
have. Like,
yeah, dude. And every time it went
back.
To the ground, man, you know. He was in trouble, you know. I'm very good off my back. So
now your one fight where you had a Muay Thai clinch, and you must have needed that guy. How many times did you need that guy in the head?
Fought 51.
51 times in the head.
Wow.
Now is that just like are you just in kill mode? I mean, is that just are you in the like they say like the zone that people get into? You have a guy in a Muay Thai clinch, and you're kicking him 51 times. What's going through your head during that?
What's going through his head?
Fuck, man. I mean, yeah. Initially it's, you know, fucking murder, death, kill. After maybe 20, you're thinking, fuck, dude, like, I'm sorry. Like, like I don't know, dude. I for sure kind of felt bad. But at the same time, like, as they're landing, I'm thinking, he's still here. Motherfucker's still there. Like, yeah, I gotta keep going. I can't stop. And, you know, it is what it is. But there's also a fine line of, you know, why would it take me 51?
well, I'd rather throw 51 and have it go like that than try to throw 10 or 15 as hard as I can, hoping that, you know, maybe they land, but maybe you get it taken down from that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a double-edged sword when you're throwing knees too. Sometimes throwing them a little bit quicker with more stability and base under you to control the takedown is necessary. And at the same time, fuck, dude, if you're throwing them like a machine gun and this dude has to defend because every time he doesn't, he's getting kneed in the face, then you're breaking the arms down, you're breaking the wrists down, fucking the hands up, fucking the face up, and hit the liver, hit the ribs, and then it's a wrap.
I was the one fight I got into at the haha.
Yeah,
like I was, my hands are being held back by two different guys, and all I had was my knee. So I threw a fucking knee. I was like, I don't throw anything, man.
Oh, man.
I like wish I could actually throw a kick, but I was just fucking knee. Those knees are awesome, man. That when I watched Anderson Silva do that to Rich Franklin, I was just like,
it's
wow,
a classic.
That was one of those things where I was like, how do you defend this? I mean, once a guy has you in that clinch,
and just. Yeah.
Well, I know the defenses. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of weird when I watch certain things because, you know, it could be also body type because maybe being so tall and lanky. You know, I use the defenses. I've sparred people way bigger, heavyweights that are even taller than me get me in the clinch and I'm able to break out. You know what I'm saying? There's definitely techniques that can go for it, but sometimes depending on who you're fighting and what their strengths are, man.
You look like you'd have sharp knees because you have sharp elbows.
No, yeah, I got, you know, I'm happy to bring the full fucking eight limbs to the table.
You know, I was at a show one time and Skylar Stone got into it with a guy in the audience, and the guy got him in a Muay Thai clinch and started kneeing him
really
into the body. Now, me being who Skylar being who he is, I let him get a few off on him before I jumped in there.
I can't stand Skylar Stone.
Exactly. So I let him take a few to the body before I jumped in between them and tried to like stop him from kicking.
I gave that guy like 100 spots in my life. I got him so many paid work. The night before I did the Tonight Show, he had a show at the Improv. I was like, hey man, can I just do 5 minutes? He's like, I'm all booked, man. Sorry.
And he wouldn't give you what?
Five minutes before the Tonight Show.
You know what? Stone's a better person now than he was.
All right, yeah, he's someone I would not tip. Now, listen.
I let the guy go off on it for a little while before I helped Stone out. And then I saved Stone's ass just by jumping in between them.
You know who I would tip? Fighters who I respect. And you could tip those people at tipafighter.com.
Right.
It's about fighters. Like you said, there are guys out there who are not paid enough. You know, let's tip these guys. Or women. Let's tip them. Let's give them money. Throw them $100, $200, $300. Throw them $20. Throw them whatever you want to tip them, you can tip them.
Yeah.
A lot of betting going on. People make you a lot of money. Absolutely. We're going to talk about that in a second, as well as American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events, AIASE.com. Thank you, Sean, for the sponsorship. Now, some of the fights over the weekend. Bellator. You watch Bellator?
Sometimes.
Did you watch it last weekend?
No.
Okay. Well, there were some good fights.
It was some good fights. I thought it was a very good card.
Will Brooks.
Okay. I read the results, so.
Yeah, Will Brooks retained his title.
That was a great fight.
Will
man.
Brooks is a great fighter. I mean, he knew the guy was a leg lock specialist.
Really good. Really good at leg locks, too, man.
So good, dude. Yeah, I was watching. I was like, how he survived that first round, I have no idea.
Well,
because he had him in some crazy positions, and he blew his knee out, apparently, doing
it. Yeah, he hurt
and
his
then,
knee.
Right, and then he was like, I got it. Because, like, through the rest of the fight, everyone's like, why does he keep going to the ground with this guy? He's so dangerous, but it's he realized he couldn't stand on that
But it
knee.
Shows you how good the wrestling is, how important it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could control
his flexibility saved his ass.
I like Will. He's got a big mouth, too, which I appreciate. Like, he's not afraid to speak his mind. I love it about him. Also, Mike Chandler beat Dave Rickles.
Boy, you were right about that one. And you know what? When I saw it, I was like, oh, no, I've seen Chandler fight, and he outclassed the shit out of him.
And Rickles is a tough guy. I mean, yeah. Mike Chandler, I think, was a guy that in the UFC, he would do really well. He'd do well anyway. He's a tough, great wrestler. His striking is getting better. And you know what? That move, those guys who left San Diego are all winning. The guys who got, they went to Arizona Combat or Power MMA. A lot of those guys, they seems to be, you know, a good move for them. And Strauss Pitbull, I'm really happy for Strauss.
Yeah, man. Broke his
for
hand
sure.
like crazy.
And he's your former teammate, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, they're all still my teammates. I'm not ATT. I'm just I came out here to expand my training.
Right. Well, it was a good week for ATT.
Do you think that's it for Rickles?
No. I mean, you know,
be pretty bad.
But when you lose to guys like Chandler and you lose to the top echelon guys, it's not it.
Okay,
it's one thing.
I like Rickles.
It seems to me when you're. I mean, I hate to say it, but if you're a veteran losing on like a fight pass prelim or even, you know, losing on some of the lower cards, you're like is it for Clay Guida? That's more it, because he got, like in the UFC, he got guillotined in the first round. I don't know if you watched it. He came out there, lost real quick. And Clay, you know, Clay's a good fighter, but, you know, you're losing when you're losing on prelims and quickly.
Yeah.
That's when,
that's,
you know, you never want to tell a guy to hang it up. But I'll tell you, there are a couple of people. Well, first of all, so now Bellator announced that, first they announced Kurt Angle might come back to fighting or might start fighting.
Okay, yeah, Kurt, I was going to say come back.
Come back. He might, you know, Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, stud wrestler. He's now in his 40s. He's got how many surgeries? How many DUIs? You know, I understand he brings a name value, but what is this? I mean, let's just let anybody fight that. Yeah, I mean, what's going on here?
I think they're just looking for name value.
Now, they also announced that Ken Shamrock is fighting Royce Gracie for the third time in February. I guess Betty White's going to be the ring girl. They're going to have
the Night of the Living Dead.
They're going to have the Pride Lady, because they can't hear anyone else. So they're going to have that old lady screaming. They're going to have a ramp, an actual wheelchair ramp system. What is this? I mean, they fought in UFC 1. UFC 1.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what year is this?
He's 53 years old.
I know.
Thoughts, Ben Saunders?
I mean, if they are going to keep fighting, I guess, right?
Fight each other?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's for the money, so I can't really say much, because if I was their age and they're like, I'll pay you $1 million to fight this guy and we're the same age.
Well, I mean,
of course, I'd step back in there.
They're trying to bring
money,
eyeballs, but like,
but I don't know, man. I don't. I mean, who knows what the competitiveness is going to be at? You know, who knows? A lot of fucking factors on
who are the eyeballs that they're trying to get, though. I understand they're trying to get new fans, but I mean, the fans really stop watching.
I think they actually will get people to see that. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a lot of fans that are old school that will just be like, I remember those names, and they'll probably fucking
really.
I think they might tune in. I think the fine line between spectacle and sport. Man, a lot of people like the damn spectacle side of it. You know, didn't the Kimbo Shamrock
get good
blow
numbers?
The fuck up? Like, yeah. I'm just saying, man. Me and Eddie watched it, bro. Like when I was out here.
But Kimbo's
training.
Always been that way.
But
I mean,
Kimbo's,
and it could be that. It could be because it was Kimbo and not as much Shamrock
Kimbo's
for
now
sure.
Adding data 5,000.
But that, yeah, that's the other thing.
Okay, there was a documentary called Fightville, I believe.
Yeah.
Was it Fightville?
No. Fightville was
Dustin Poirier. It was a documentary. Dogfight. It's a documentary about the streets of Miami. I haven't seen it, but I've seen like the trailer. It's about these guys that live in Miami and they fight in backyards.
Right,
and
which
I guess
is where
Kimbo starts. And I guess now Data. I guess Kimbo was one of Data's boys back in the day.
Yeah, man. I mean, I watched it all, and I know I understand the hype of what's kind of coming up. But I mean, the realistic factor is Kimbo's been training. Data's not, you know, much of a fighter other than a street fighter and whole gas probably in the first minute. So I definitely see Kimbo coming out. Maybe he gets caught. Maybe he doesn't. I see a lot of people, once again, this is spectacle factor. I see a lot of people wanting to see these two street fighters street fight it out, if you will. But I think at this point, Kimbo's more of a technical fighter.
Yeah,
you know,
for
God's sakes, man, he beat Ken Shamrock. You know, I mean, I don't know how he got out of that choke. I don't know, you know.
Fixed.
Yeah, I just know that.
What did Eddie say when he saw that choke?
WWE. He did it like WWE. And, you know, I agree. You know, the way he tried to finish it wasn't, you know.
I mean, but did Eddie say this is fixed?
I don't think so.
Eddie thought it was real? Because it looked kind of like
I don't know, man. I mean, it could just be maybe fucking he really did have like a brain fart out there and was like just fucking trying to finish the choke the way he's done it in WWE for so many years and is confused. I mean, he almost had the choke. I don't
now
know.
You grew up in Florida.
Or maybe, you're right, maybe he almost had it out and they were like, loosen up. Yeah. I don't fucking know. You know, it's about to go out.
Did you grow up, did you know about that whole street fighting culture when you were in Florida?
Yeah, man. I mean, not enough to be involved with it. Obviously,
what's his name? George Masvidal.
Yeah.
Kind of got in the mix of things, but he's from Miami. I'm sure, I probably could have if I wasn't thinking, like, man, I was intelligent. I was probably already pro at the time, so I'm trying to fight pro and add shit to my record. I wasn't trying to just get street experience or gambling.
No, I think Kimbo and Data, they should have it in a backyard
do
a live on location in trash cans in a backyard in Miami. Tell me that wouldn't be cool. Like if you saw
it'd be cool, they wouldn't make as much.
No. They'll have a pay-per-view. No, actually just go on. You know how like at the MTV Awards, they'll have like, oh, we're going to play, watch this one band in Scotland.
On the outside stage.
Yeah, so I think they should have like a real event. And just that one fight should be
in an actual alley,
in an actual backyard, with like six dudes.
Self-promoted or through Bellator?
Through Bellator. I think Bellator
should be really watch that.
It should be behind a restaurant, and guys should just come out and be throwing garbage away, going, "What the fuck is happening?"
I really think that. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
I would watch it
halfway through. They just like don't have no commentators except for like a bunch of guys in the back, just their friends, their boys, you know, and they just go right throw to that, and then go back to the Bellator event. Might as well have it in a backyard. No, in porn, is there like a lot of people look down at street fighting, like the pro fighters? Is there street fighting porn that like real porn stars look down upon?
Not that I know of.
You shouldn't be hooking without a camera.
Yeah, what do you think?
Pretty
about
much like that's just too street. You know, we need cameras in
here. That's actually a good point. Now there are a lot of porn stars. They said because what happened with the internet is that all porn became free. And a lot of porn went out of business. People aren't buying DVDs anymore. And like the only people that were making money are like fetish stuff that you actually have to pay to watch someone get like peed on or stapled or something. Now you being, a lot of girls have now become hookers where you could actually
escorts
where you could buy a professional escort for a couple thousand dollars. Now, do you do that or no?
Why would I even like say something like that?
Right, it's okay. Pretty well, it's illegal.
And if so, he wants the number.
No. Well, a lot of girls.
So are you?
No, I'm not. No,
I think you could go to jail for trying to.
No, I'm not saying no. I'm saying a lot of.
I just want to know how much I have to withdraw from the ATM. All the way home.
It seems like a lot of real porn stars look down on those girls because they're like. They're like tampering the sacredness of the actual porn art.
You know, I don't think it's any different than what we're doing in porn. I mean, we're having sex for money. I don't feel like it's that much different.
It isn't that much different, really.
One is in front of a camera and one is not. It's still sex work.
So you don't look down on that?
I do not look down on it. Okay. Not at all. I actually think that it's probably safer.
Really?
Because in if you're a hooker, you can wear everyone can wear condoms if that's what you choose to do. We're in porn, it's just
But the quote unquote Johns aren't tested, right?
Where
and porn stars, the male actors are tested.
Correct.
So it would be safer to have the male actors, no?
I mean, if you're not wearing condoms,
it's safer to use condoms.
It's safer to use condoms, yes, because how many people did he work with before you on that test?
Right.
Or he could have got laid the night before.
Or anything.
Or maybe he's bisexual. And
you never know.
Right.
So you're saying I need $1,000 and some condoms. That's what you're saying. Listen, all I know is there's a Bank of America right down the street.
Okay, no.
Now
I know that you actually, I know that you actually travel around the world doing club appearances, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's okay. So you go.
I'm
to
going for Thanksgiving, actually.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bath, Pennsylvania. Like, yeah. It's like Allentown.
Allentown, okay. Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you're getting your turkey stuffed?
Yeah.
Okay. No. No.
You know, it does get boring after the meal. You got to find something to do.
Now, I know that from what I hear is...
You don't want to fill up before your big dance.
I mean, who would have thought, like back in the Thanksgiving when the pilgrims and the Indians...
This is
what would happen. All right, now... Now I know that like so you go to a place, you put on a show, right? You like this is our feature dancer,
and then
at the end you give lap dances to the audience members, correct? For money?
Yeah.
Of course.
Not for free.
Right.
I would do it for free. Yeah.
So how much do you guys have to pay?
$100.
$100 for one song.
I do two.
Two songs. So 50.
Thank you. That's very generous of you.
I do two.
Yeah, that's just
being
cool.
Well, I mean,
cool.
I don't want to do it for, like, the regular price that the house girls
Hell
do it
no.
because I don't want to take away from their money. If someone really wants to get a lap dance from me, they'll pay
$100.
I don't want to go for $20, and then all of the guys are going to pay me $20 instead of them. It's not fair.
I play that song, Engada La Vida.
I was going to say, I need $100 and I need the DJ to queue up American Pie.
The longest song ever.
Yes.
And she said, bye, Miss America.
Can you play this album, just like the Lauryn Hill album with no breaks? Now,
put your vagina on my thigh.
Now, do guys ever try to cop a feel or try to like finger bang you when you're giving them lap dances?
Yeah, I've had that happen, but normally I just like knee them in the crotch really hard and they stop. So
you say, hey, knock it off.
No, I just knee them in the crotch and then they stop.
Self-explanatory.
I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Daddy, do you have a bouncer watching you and making sure?
Yeah, you travel with a guy, right?
Well, yeah, I have a couple guys that live in different areas of the United States that I know and I'm friends with. And so where I'm in that area, they'll just come along and stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's
that's
fun.
Important.
All right.
Or so, I just bring my taser. So
you bring a taser, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Now, do you enjoy it more if you're on Molly or something? Or?
I don't know. I've never tried that.
Really?
Well, I mean, I've tried Molly, but I've never tried it while I was dancing. I like to like be very coherent whenever I'm dancing. I don't want to fall off the stage or...
Right.
I'm with you on that.
You know.
Okay. So, okay, no stage.
I think she's more coherent on stage than you are.
Yeah, I'm not coherent at all. I'm out of my mind.
Now, okay. Now, some of the fights, the UFC fights that happened. Hendo versus Belfort. That fight, some people said it was stopped too early. I don't know. Hendo, that kick looked like Kendo was a little out of it. Maybe it could have won a couple more punches. To me, I don't know why Dan Henderson now says, I still want to fight. Bro, like I said, I thought after the Boach fight, he should have hung it up. He's 45 years old at this point. What do you got to prove? You have a gym. You're a legend. You're an Olympian. You're worth a lot of money.
I don't think it's to prove anything at this point.
You just love fighting.
If he's fighting, it's for two reasons. It's for the love of the game or the money or both. Those are probably the only two reasons. He definitely has nothing to prove, and I think he's intelligent enough to know that. You know,
I watched that ending a couple times to see if he did.
I didn't get to see the fight.
And there was a minute where he locked up when he was on his back after the kick, and he got another one off on him. There was a moment where he locked up, like, you know, and I think that was the moment that Yamasaki or whatever stepped in and stopped it. You know, and when I watched it again, I was like, yeah, no, he did for a second.
I mean, it's
like,
really hard. It's, I mean,
and I think he was like,
he's probably the hardest guy to ref fights because of the fact that he came back against Shogun. He came back against Fedor. He's come back so many
times.
He's
been a champion.
He's been
a
champion.
And did you notice?
Silver medalist, right?
Silver medalist.
Did you notice, though, like right before that, the announcer was like, the last fight ended with a head kick. And then immediately head kick.
Yeah, no, I mean, but also, like, it seemed like he almost blocked that head kick a little bit as well. It just
sent him to the ground.
You know, Hendo is a great fighter. But I think at a certain point, fighters need to, if they want to keep doing it, it's like almost someone else should stop. I really think they should have fighter intervention where you let the guy go out in a cage and then all of a sudden the lights go up and it's all the friends and the family come out and say, you got to stop doing this. please stop doing this. Because Hendo, I know what you said, I don't think he needs the money. It is for the love of fighting. But at the same time, okay.
If you're thinking about brain damage or longevity and vitality and all that, yeah, I'm 100% with you. You know, there's a fine line between the fighter's aspect and, you know, the caution aspect. But once you start thinking the caution, then for sure retirement's
in
your head.
And also you're a fighter as well. So
yeah,
it's like,
I think
a caution, probably fighting isn't the right line of work to be in the first place. But
yeah, someone has to stop. I mean, in the NFL, they face this concussion issue now. Where they're having to say, hey, you got to stop.
I mean, but then you also got to say,
fighting's got to do the same thing.
Like, what's his goal? If he's just in the game for super fights, are you still fighting the top guys? Or, I mean, it's not like he's losing to nobody's, right?
No.
So you're still losing to the elite, but, you know, I don't know. Do you kind of start fighting lesser competition to stay in the game and enjoy what you love? Not saying gatekeeper, but not saying necessarily super fights where, you know, you're the underdog, I guess. I don't know.
Is the fight in the cage the only way to get that satisfaction, or can the training and the fighting at the gym still feed that fire?
Everybody's different, man. Everybody's different. But if you're a competitor and you've been one your entire life like him.
Yeah. You want them.
Plus,
want to be,
you know, it's hard for these guys that every time they meet someone, they go, when's your next fight? Or, well, you're my favorite fighter. Or can I take a picture? And I think a lot of these guys, they don't want to lose that. They don't want to be go back to being what they could perceive as a Joe Schmo.
Or being retired. And
not everyone can make the transition to acting like a Randy Couture or something. Yeah. But then you get these guys like Jens Pulver, and you get these guys where you're like, listen, you know, MMA is still a new enough sport where guys aren't punchy, yeah. But eventually, you want to see these fighters drooling all over themselves and going to these, you know, for $500 at a trade show?
Right. We don't know if people how punchy the game's going to be in 20 years.
Right.
You know, like, that shit's scary.
Yeah, you know? I know. It is scary. And that's, you know.
That's what I'm saying. You know, the NFL is dealing with this now because, you know, they're.
I think you get more concussions in NFL, though, than fighting.
But I will say, you know, obviously, he's a very rare case, you know, just kind of who he's been, what he's done,
he
and all
has that.
That
power.
How many people have been retiring recently too, though, you know? So I think everybody is intelligent to the game enough to know about their future, at least some of them.
I've seen so many guys that, like, still think they have a fight in them, and it's like,
yeah.
Come on, man. You just lost 11 in a row.
How many people retired in the last 2 weeks? Five, something like that?
A lot of guys.
So some people are, you know, taking notice. I don't know. You know, who knows if it's for the vitality or if it's for the financial reasons? Most likely both.
When's the right time for a porn star to retire, Cleo?
Would they get an elephant ass?
I'm like, don't they go forever, right?
No.
Don't they go?
No, I mean, it's just like whenever you can't do it people. Anymore, people don't want to see you anymore.
Guys, hold on. Cleo's talking.
Sorry, yes.
Gosh, you're being
so rude.
Sorry. I'm still a woman. You can be nice to me. Just because I take things in my ass doesn't mean you have to be rude.
What were you saying? I go on, please.
Are you going to talk about my ass?
No. You were saying that. So when is it time for a girl to retire?
Whenever no one wants to hire you anymore, no one wants to book you or see you anymore. I mean, it's about time.
Do you see it a lot? Do you see porn stars that, like, you're like, sorry, people don't want to see this anymore?
Pretty much, yeah. There's a handful, but there's also a handful that they retire and then they come back and they sell a whole bunch of DVDs. And
once their butthole heals.
Yeah, pretty much. Their butthole is no longer ripped, and so they can take a cock in it again.
We have the most unique podcast. Fuck everybody who says that we don't bring it every week. You're not going to hear Ben Saunders and Cleo Valentine and the Greg Wilson and myself on any of the podcasts. Now, Pat Cummings versus Glover. That was a fight. That was a surprise. I thought Pat was going to win it. I thought he was going to grind him out.
Glover looked like 30 pounds bigger.
The thing about Pat is that, you know, he didn't really... I mean, I think Glover is he's a good wrestler, underrated wrestler, and I think he's good enough to stuff the takedowns, and that's when Pat seems to get in trouble. When Pat can't bully people and take them down and just beat them up, he gets in some weird, like, panic mode / I'm a K-1 striker / I don't have a plan B. And it sucks. I'm a big Pat Cummings fan.
Okay.
It just seems like everybody that I know that trains with Pat says he's a fucking world champion in the gym, but something seems to happen in the cage where that's not translating. Ben?
I mean, if your game is to take someone down and you can't take them down and you're not better than them on the feet,
you're fucked. Is that what you think happens?
I mean, everybody has a puncher's chance, but that's a wrap. I mean, I don't know if you want to say statistically speaking, the percentage of chances of you winning if your strength is to take them down and they're a better striker, I mean, it's pretty fucking low, yeah. You know? So if he can't do that, and that's basically his game and imposing his will is to either smash him into the cage or get the takedown, and that's not fucking happening, well, you know.
Yeah, which is, it's tough because you watch
stylistic
him against
matchups,
some people he can do that against, he looks like a world beater.
Yeah.
And then people, I mean, the guys that he's not been able to do that, the OSP who caught him, the Daniel Cormier, who you're not going to take down unless you're John Jones, and it's a 5-round fight in Vegas and whatever. And now Glover. Glover is, I don't know if he's that, I wouldn't call him a gatekeeper, but he seems to be now like the guy that people are like underestimating and are winning. Glover's last fight, he beat OSP, and everyone had OSP going into that fight.
Yeah.
And now people had Pat going into the fight. I don't know if Glover was the favorite or whatever, but he's that guy that just keeps sticking
around. Is he four now?
Top 40
top
might
five?
Be. I mean, you look at the guys, the only guys he seemed to have lost to are John Jones, and who else did he lose to? He lost to John?
No, he beat him. Quentin, he beat.
I just couldn't get. I thought he just looked so much.
Oh, Phil Davis. Phil Davis beat him up.
Yeah, yeah.
Phil Davis
took him down.
Took him down. Phil Davis.
That's right.
He has troubles against the brothers. He's like the anti-Kardashian right there. Now, speaking of someone that doesn't have trouble against the brothers, you were in Big Black Dicks and Tattooed Chicks.
That was me.
Now,
that sounds great.
Now, how big were these black dicks, and did the girls all have tattoos? Tell us about that movie.
Yeah, all the girls had tattoos, and there was a lot of big black dicks, and
Did you ever look at a dick that's like a porn... Did you ever look at a porn black dick, which is probably even bigger than the average black dick, and you're like, no, that's not going to happen?
Not yet, no.
Not yet?
No, I'm pretty elastic.
God, I love that. She has a great rubber guard.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So really, I mean, now, so like...
Which is also known as her tank.
Have you worked with Mandingo?
I have not, no.
What
yet.
About the other guy?
Lexington
Steel?
Yes, I had him all up in my butthole.
You had Lexington Steel in your asshole?
Oh, yeah.
Could you feel him in your throat?
Pretty much.
Really?
Now, after that, right, after you have Lexington Steel, now, is he being gentle or is he going...
He's very nice. He makes it look incredibly intense when... I don't know. Something about his dick, it's like got a little give to it. So it feels really good. I don't know how to explain it.
Let me ask you this, though. The next day, are you walking around and shit just falls out of your ass? Or
Like a piano?
Yeah.
No, doesn't happen. Good. Sorry. I mean, do you have that happen? Because I know you take a lot of stuff up your ass.
But it's all like, you know, car keys.
Just the easy stuff?
Yeah, just the basic, basic household goods.
Have you ever had a girl put a finger up there?
Yeah, but I didn't like it. I had to stop at it. It was a real party stopper for me.
What? Now, how did that
happen?
Now, what happened?
Well, because, you know, when they're playing with the little tickle, when they're just tickling it.
You're looking at me and Ben, we have no idea what you're talking about, but okay.
Come on, you've never had a girl tickle your butthole, which is like blowing you, give you a little...
Not really, but okay, so the girl's tickling...
So that was... Look, he's like grabbing his... I've forgotten those days on purpose.
Oh, my God.
No, but that was nice, a little, you know, but then the finger in there, I was like, because I can't concentrate.
Right.
You know what I mean? It really just threw me off.
You also don't like it whenever you have to go to the doctor and they have to check your prostate.
You
either.
Know what? They didn't do that.
What?
They were like, fuck this.
He's already fucked up. Just let him die.
Yeah, she was like, I can't even get through the thicket.
They found four bags of coke up there and said, you know what? We are not going any deeper.
Balloons. Thank you. Balloons of cocaine. And now they just do blood tests. They
pulled out four bags of coke and John Dotson.
Yeah. I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed. I mentally prepared myself all day to get fingered in the ass. And they then pulled I go out, in there.
You were like trying it out yourself beforehand, making sure
yeah,
you
I was just
did he
it
notice
out.
A disappointment in your face
yeah, I was like,
when he told
not
you?
Gonna... I do remember going, don't you need to put a... And she was like, no, we do it all with blood tests now. I was like...
All right,
I was disappointed.
The last fight, well, first of all, we're going to talk about Chaz Skelly, who we had him on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Super tough guy. I love this guy from Texas. He was hurt. He was out, and he came back and won the fight. I mean, I love this dude. Somebody that I was upset about was Anthony Berchek. We've had him on the show a couple times. He fought Thomas Almeida. And
he went out like, I mean, when someone just crumbles like that,
he did like
the
Rashad Evans, the one with Tank Abbott, the Nurmed, when he knocked out that guy.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was rough to see because he was fighting a good fight.
Yeah.
It looked like Almeida was a step above him, but it was a competitive, both doing great things. And Berchek, I think he saw Brad Pickett hurt him. Berchek's got heavy hands. He said, you know what? I just gotta hurt this guy.
Right.
And he got a little careless and ended up.
He got caught hard.
Got fucked up. I called him. He said he seemed he was bummed out, but he seemed okay about it.
I was worried about his knee. The way he fell, I was like, I hope he didn't pop his knee the way he collapsed.
Yeah, that was rough to watch.
It was brutal.
What did you think of that fight?
I just saw the knockout. You know, I didn't watch the fight. But yeah, it looked pretty.
It was
pretty
rough.
Gnarly,
it was rough because he's like
pretty gnarly. Yeah, yeah.
Some guys tighten up. They stiffen up. He did the sack of potatoes.
I went on stage.
That was what I was like. Who that knee? And they immediately came out and straightened out his leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
I saw that.
Straighten out that fucking leg.
Yeah,
I actually went on stage, and then I actually got off stage, right before he went on, and then I saw that, and I was like, oh, I was depressed. People were like taking pictures, they're like, oh, take a picture, and I was just like, man, because I like Berchek. He's a good guy, and and I helped him get into the UFC.
Yeah.
So it's just like, ah, but you know, he'll be back.
Apparently, you helped him get out. Too.
No, come on, it's one fight.
Now, too soon.
All right, we got to talk about the fights this week, real quick. I want to get Killer B's picks. Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, who wins?
I mean, obviously I'm thinking Ronda, but I do believe Holm has the experience and hopefully the mindset to stick to the game plan, stick and move. I mean, if you can, it sucks in the sense that who knows if that's going to be an entertaining fight, but you're going with Ronda Rousey, people are expecting you to lose. So every minute, every second, every round that you stay, is a victory, you know, and who knows, stick the jab out, do a teep, throw some kicks and keep your range.
Now, what do you think about the whole Ronda dating Tavis Brown, the alleged girlfriend beater, the Edmund being tax evasion, the mother not talking to Edmund? I mean, do you think any of this is going to play in effect? And the fact that it's in Australia, so the fight's going to be difference.
Yeah, it definitely could, man. I mean, your mental game is always a fragile thing when coming into a fight, and this is one of her toughest competitors. Toughest as far as the striking aspect. I don't know her ground game. I don't know her wrestling and her clinch game and whatnot.
Nobody does.
So realistically, it is a question mark, which makes it intriguing. So a lot of people are going to want to tune in to see the fight. But it could definitely fuck with her head.
Ronda, arouse me. What do you think?
You know who I'm going for.
You're going for Ronda.
You go for the other person, I'm just wrong.
Right.
Okay.
It's got to be Ronda.
You'd be like, I'll show Ronda how to do an armbar.
Okay.
Should have done it this way.
Greg, you come in Thursday, right? So we'll talk more about this fight on Thursday.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right. Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
That's my girl.
Valerie.
Just Fury. I love her.
Against Valerie Letourneau, who is Hector Lombard, I guess. It's a big thing. I guess he's not allowed to corner her because the whole steroid thing that he got busted for. But Hector's her boyfriend.
Yeah. Suspension.
Her trainer. I love Hector. I heard Valerie's cutting from like 150 to 115.
150?
She was at 150, I heard. She's a big girl.
That's a big
girl. You tell me, 40 pounds?
That's what somebody said. Now, I'm picking the upset. Mm. I'm picking Valerie. I'm putting money on Valerie. She's 9-1 underdog. I think Hector's got her trained. I think Valerie's going to pull it out. You?
I think, you know, training at American Top Team, she's going to be very well prepared. You know, Joanna's she's a murderer, man. So, you know, in fact, I really think, you know, she's an artist out there, and she paints people red.
She's
so
another one though. Does she have any ground game? Because
who knows, man.
I love her fists. I love them.
Her ideally, her footwork is on point enough that you know, she keeps the distance well enough. We'll see, man. We'll see. It's going to be a tough fight.
And finally, so you're picking Joanna?
No.
I'm 50-50 on that one. I can't give a...
Ronda, arouse me?
I don't know. Sorry.
Okay, all right. Finally, Mark Hunt versus Bigfoot Silva. Bigfoot has not looked the same since
They're fighting again?
Yeah, Mark Hunt, okay. Bigfoot Silva. Who do we like? I like Mark Hunt in this fight.
I think Mark takes it, you know?
Didn't Silva win his last fight, though?
Like, no, he's been getting his ass kicked since the whole... He's a guy that should be allowed to take TRT because he's like some kind of...
That's right.
He's got some kind of giganticism or something, but they're not letting him take it, and it seems like it's really affecting him. You?
Don't ask me any questions.
All right, thank you.
Taller fighter versus shorter fighter. Make a choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm not choosing.
All right, thank you. Listen, that is our podcast today. I want to thank American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Thank you, Sean. Hope to see you soon. Definitely check them out, people. If you want to get a signed picture, go to AIASE.com if you want to get all kinds of stuff. Also, tip a fighter, okay? Listen, a lot of these fighters are underpaid. So many of them are. And Bubba Jenkins is fighting in two weeks. It's Bubba's idea for Tip of Fighters. So tip of Bubba. Listen,
that's right.
So I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Ben Saunders, Killer B. I've been a fan of yours for years. Thank you.
Thank you so much, man.
Cleo, you did great, as always. You're so
thank
beautiful.
You
have the luckiest husband I've ever... Oh, man.
Log jam.
Greg Wilson, thanks again, man.
Thank you, man. Hey, do you guys know who Antoine Hood is?
No.
Okay. Because he's like, he said, he saw it's going to be, he's, no, he, I guess runs, he's like, me and all my fighters will be at your show at Tommy T's on Friday.
Nice.
And so I was like, oh, okay. I thought maybe he ran a gym and you guys knew who he was.
Shout out to Antoine Hood. Yeah. So thank you guys. Thank you, Sideshow Network. Thank you, Andrew. Take care. Have a great week.